We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We have the latest on Ronald Acuña Jr. It's good news, but I don't care. Acuña has a grade one lower right calf strain after leaving the game last night. It is not an Achilles injury, and he could still miss some time, but the good news is it's a calf strain. Now, Mike, we've been saying this, right? All these things are connected. And for many of you, you're going to go, oh, hey, Dukes, there you go. Put him back out there. No. 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 I don't want to do it. Why risk this?
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. No.
That is Lego Batman, by the way. I do that to my wife. I know I'm 56 years old. I shouldn't say that. But when she asks me not to, something I don't want to do, Carl, I do the same routine right
now. No, 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 no.
I love it. I add the beatbox for me. I love it. We cannot risk having something happen to Ronald Acuña, and then you all are going to go, well, we shouldn't have been playing him. Exactly, because we're not in the race.
You said this now. Again, guys, we've said it to you. Carl brought this up earlier. Sometimes we throw stuff at you over the years, and you go, ah, whatever. I go, I told you, we ain't got enough pitching. You guys say, whatever, Mike. You say that every year, because we don't. Carl said it a month ago. Regardless, if we're 17 games, which we are now, under 500, forget it. There's no reason to be risking Ronald Acuña knowing that you do. What do you want? You want him to be Mike Trout? Because he's trending in that direction. We love the guy's energy. As we said earlier, he's talking, you know how emotional he was last night talking to the media, Carl? He feels guilty and feels bad about missing all this time, but you got to protect him from himself. And if Snitker was aware of this, unless Snitker is just, I don't know, doing crosswords, is he doing Sudoku? I don't know what he does, but if he's aware of this, you got to protect
your
player.
You're going to have Sudoku fans mad at you right now.
Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
it. Okay.
I just want the manager doing that if he's making up his lineup card, and you're aware that a guy who's been dealing with injuries, you just said you've got to shut it down. Period. End of story, man.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, we'll talk with Grant. Braves do lose today. It was an early business person special against the Royals, but we'll tell you about that. But that's secondary. This is where it's at. How are we building for next season, and how are guys going to at least build some more confidence, like Money Harris, who's hitting now, and Ozzy and some of these other guys we've talked about? But this is a non-starter for me. 404-726-0929. More on the Braves coming up. Mike, let's talk some Falcons because we're back up there tomorrow. Morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy up at Flowery Branch, and we'll do the show live from Hooters Mall of Georgia. So come on out and hang out with us. We keep talking about the edge, and does this team have an edge, and will we? And Raheem Morris was saying, yes, this is what we wanted to add to the team. And I think we're seeing a little bit of this with some of the new guys that we have, whether it be the dust-ups or just the practices and the intensity. Here's Raheem Morris.
You know, it wasn't just even a part of practice. It wasn't just even a part of the people that are in the building. It was part of our draft. You know, we wanted to add a little edge to our football team. We wanted to add a little edge to our rush. You know, all the really great football players around that I've been around, they got edge. You know, they got a little bit of edge when you talk about rushing the passer. You talk about some of these great passers that we talk about, whether it's Aaron Donald, whether you're talking about Vaughn Miller, whether you're talking about Warren Sapp, whether you're talking about Simeon Rice, any of these guys that rush the passer, they got a little bit of edge. And part of our whole draft, part of our whole philosophy, part of our practice, part of us becoming a team that we want to be and going out and actually doing some of these things is acquiring players with some natural edge. So that's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a part of what we want. It's definitely part of who we are. And it's no different even with our offensive line. You got speed off the ball versus, you know, running through dark rooms. And there's going to be some violence, and there's going to be a certain amount of physicality that's required to be a part of this football team.
Crazy. You're crazy.
Hey, I like you, man. I'm loco, man. We said we try to find this kind of edge in the past. We just
haven't done it.
We misfired. You know, the Rashid Hegemans of the world and, Tack McKinley's. And guys just couldn't get the job done. We thought we struck gold with Vic Beasley, but you know, his heart just didn't seem to be in it. And that was just one great year and a couple of good years, and that's it. So we think we got the guys. Still concerned about Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
And I know that they've kind of danced around the subject with, you know, what's the phrase again, Ori, when it comes to these guys?
Oh, hold on. I have it right here, Mike. I want to make sure we get it right. Modified practice plan.
Okay, as in he's hurt, so you had to modify the practice plan. Hope he's not. Don't know what it is. But when you give me this vague language, you leave the sports radio talk host kind of guessing, Carl, reaching for things. So I don't know what that is. I just know I haven't seen Jalen Walker on the field, and yesterday was the first day with pads.
All right, I will say this.
Because I know they're listening.
Watching.
Judging.
If he ain't out there tomorrow, Mike and I are going to have a problem.
There could be repercussions.
There could be and consequences. If he's not out there, seriously, he said, now we're talking about Sunday, Tuesday,
right,
Thursday. And you can tell me, well, it's still early, and it is, but reps matter, guys.
Right. So, and I just don't know how you can talk about the emergence of some players and then discount how another guy's not able to be out there and contribute. So we'll play it by ear. Speaking of which, Kobe Bryant, the other one.
Yes.
From Kansas.
C-O-B.
And a guy that was, you know, highly touted as an undrafted free agent. A lot of guys thought he was going to be in the fifth or sixth round. Inexplicably, he fell, but he's there for the Falcons to grab, and they did. He'll be good to go. So he's been activated, which is great news. We saw that from D-Led the other day. He and Lakeil London are off the non-football injury illness list. And then Jordan Whitehead, who played safety for the Buccaneers for many years, the Jets. And then I think it was in the offseason, he got in a car accident. I think he might have missed the final week of the season through no fault of his own. He came by for, a look with the Falcons today. I thought we're okay at the safety position, but they're talking to him.
Yeah, he missed the final two games with that accident, right, Mike. And you know, again, these moves, if in fact they happen, like the DJ Shark move, could be just depth where you say, hey, just in case, right? JIC, what happens if? Okay, well, we need to make sure we have a plan. And so it's not uncommon for guys to come in and meet with the team, whether it's even in season. A lot of times this stuff's not reported. Guys come in and it's like, wait, they have an idea of where they might want to go. So that's how I'm looking at that. I don't think it has anything to do with our depth chart right now as far as the rookies like Xavier Watts and, you know, the guys that we're looking at. As we talk about the Falcons, Raheem Morris was talking about a hunger. This is something else we've discussed. I'd love to tell you I feel it. I just know in talking to guys enough that everybody is aware. And Raheem was asked about this, about feeling that hunger this season and going into this upcoming season.
You can already see it. You can already feel it within the weight room. You can feel it in the meeting rooms, the excitement, the enthusiasm. You can feel it from the coaching staff, particularly the new coaching staff that's been involved with everything. And then, like, it goes to the field. You know, like, I think the office talked about it a little bit. It's kind of like a little bit of a corny rah-rah. But it becomes authentic. It becomes who they are. It becomes what they become. It becomes, like, contagious throughout the building. And you got to love it. And, like, I can already feel that edge. I can already feel that, you know, that want-to. I can already feel that hunger, that desire, that obsession to go out there and be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, man, it's funny because Carl and I, we were so used to over the years, you talk to any player, whether it's a rookie or a veteran, hey, man, playoffs, right? No, man, we just take it one day at a time. Head down, put the work in. This year, oh, hell yeah, we've got to make the playoffs.
It's true.
We heard it from A.J. Terrell at minicamp. We heard it from Jesse Bass off the air, but not off the record. And we heard it from Leonard Floyd. You know, we've heard it from Michael Penix Jr. These guys know. And if you like your coach and you really like your general manager, if you want to keep their job, you got to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I do that part I sense, and that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, we're not in the weight room and all that stuff the coach is seeing, but that's real. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant's going to join us. Braves lose 1-0 in extras today, but looks like Ronald Acuña is going to be better off than what we assumed, especially after he left last night. He is on the 10-day IL. A couple other things. Leonard Floyd, Mike, talking about the dust-ups at practice, the fights, and he mentions James Pierce Jr. He was talking to us about this yesterday. If you missed that interview, go online at odyssey.com. Subscribe to Dukes and Bell. Don't miss any of our content, guys, and you'll get the updates and all the stuff, the notices. But here's Leonard Floyd talking about the fights.
Mostly I teach him to, get back settled down once he get rowdy. I try to bring him to the side and help him cool himself down before he get real crazy with it, but He's a good guy, man. He come out and work hard, man. The linemen just don't like it, you know? When a guy work hard, linemen don't like it. So that's a good thing.
That's Leonard Floyd. After we spoke with him yesterday, you heard him talking with the media scrum. By the way, guy hit us up real quick. Sidebar, he goes, what is that clanking noise in the background? That's the jugs machine.
Oh, yeah.
That's guys doing basically point blank, boom, getting extra work in, working with their hands. But that's the thing. James Pierce, we said all in the, you know, after the draft, it was all the conversation, the focus was on Jalen Walker, and Pierce is a great question mark. So far, I mean, again, we haven't seen him against another team, but everything we're hearing about Pierce is a positive.
And
in a good way.
And, no,
and you talked about to start the show, man. Edge, attitude.
I love it. I'm digging all of it. Here's what I'm also digging. A quarterback with confidence and is not afraid to talk some. Now, again, we're not talking about, you know, going out and just starting stuff. But I do think if teams think they're going to get in Michael Penix's head, Mike, they might find another thing coming. And Leonard Floyd told us as much yesterday as we talked to him and asked him about Penix. We will play that for you in just a second. As Leonard Floyd was talking about Michael Penix and his attitude and how he's not afraid to snap back at guys, which, again, I think is a good thing. And I hope that you like that as well. Now, again, he's not going out, you know, before the game starts, I'm going to kill you guys today. I'm going to have 500 yards. He's not doing that. But I think as guys try to get into his head, he's got the wherewithal to handle that. Here's Floyd.
He's a smooth criminal, man. He's smooth as silk. And he'll talk some too now. He will now. Don't let him fool you. He will talk a little bit. I like that.
Yeah, and I do too. 404-726-0929. That is something that, again, I don't know if it'll be talked about a whole lot this year, Mike, especially when we're winning. Nobody's going to care. But I think, you know, as a defensive lineman or a linebacker, or you know, guys are trying to get in guys' heads all the time. And you hear on the field, you don't get it all the time because those boom mics, you're not, whether we are at the games or you're at home. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of talking going on. And sometimes when you got a guy that's just trying to find his feet, you know, you're like, hey, man, I thought you threw the ball better than that. Penix is not going to be afraid to snap back. And I think that is going to be a cool part of the confidence that he shows, and his teammates are going to build off of that.
I love it. You know, and this is a guy that the city's just – I mean, we saw it at camp. We've seen it with all the folks that are showing up, the interest, the excitement level. People want to buy the jersey. They want to get behind this guy because we're so sick of being in this quarterback limbo. We thought we were going to have, like, you know, maybe a 2 or 3 year run with Cousins, and obviously the rug got pulled out from under us. So people just want, you want this guy to be the next big thing in the NFL. You saw what Jaden Daniels did. You saw what Bo Nix did. Bears fans probably feeling the same way, maybe a little nervous about Caleb Williams, but we think we got something special here.
Acuna for life. Braves lose today. We'll talk to Grant McCauley next. Well, speaking of Ronald Acuna Jr., Grant, let's start there, shall we? The latest update. Want to get your opinion on this and where you are at, because I was livid last night. I'm like, oh, my God, can it get any worse? I guess the good news is it's not as bad as we thought it might be.
Yeah, no, that is the good news. And I will caution everyone against asking the question, can it get any worse? Because we have determined the answer to that question this season is probably yes. So we won't ask that question anymore, rhetorical or otherwise. But I will tell you, it's a sigh of relief for Ronald Acuna Jr., for the Braves as well. And, you know, I don't know that there is a quote-unquote best-case scenario when it comes to Ronald having to miss a significant amount of time, which he will here. I mean, a few weeks is significant, but in terms of dodging a bullet, in terms of not putting 2026 in jeopardy, I think you'll take this news every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So, you know, they'll, I'm sure, monitor, give him the treatment that he needs. And, I mean, we've seen guys deal with calf injuries before. I felt like there were a few signs last night that kind of pointed to it not being a ruptured Achilles. Number one, it didn't pop. Number two, he jogged off the field. And while he did, you know, immediately go see the trainers, and obviously the walking boot was concerning, maybe that was just whatever precautions you could take after the fact. But I also understand the emotions of a guy who has been through what he's been through and wondering, have I just injured myself again? Is my season over? So I think there were a lot of factors at play last night. And obviously, emotions were running high on all sides.
The big question for a lot of the audience was, and for us and for a lot of folks, I know, Grant, you've answered this a few times today, but, you know, if Snicker is aware of this, don't you have to kind of protect the player? Because we know that Ronald, you know, he loves baseball so much, his energy, his exuberance, and you just got to be mindful. You don't want to have a Mike Trout-type scenario play out.
No, you don't. I don't know that you can necessarily think worst-case scenario. I mean, I guess we could get into a long conversation about risk management, and there's certainly some of that. And, look, there's a case to be made for a lot of different responses, but I would say this. In terms of Ronald obviously wants to play. I think we know that. He deemed himself capable of playing. The medical staff, which, yes, there is a medical staff that is on hand for the Braves, sized him up, basically said, we don't see anything major here. If you're dealing with something where you want the day off, take the day off. And he said, I don't need the day off. And it's not to say it's their responsibility or his responsibility. It's kind of a shared partnership in that regard. So as far as Brian Snitker is concerned, if the medical staff says we don't see any reason why he can't play and Ronald says I want to play, I think that decision was pretty straightforward. Now, what happened afterwards, we can talk about the benefit of hindsight and how you would like to avoid things that scare the absolute bejesus out of you when it comes to your franchise player. But I just look at it as one of those situations where, like, it's life. I mean, we could make a number of determinations and say, all right, well, don't play him anymore. But what benefit does that ultimately have? Because you cannot, no matter how much you want to, manage away from a player suffering an injury. Now, do you want to put him at greater risk to go back to that? That's the discussion that you kind of have to have. What is appropriate? But shutting him down just for the sake of shutting him down, especially for the season, I just don't see that as viable, and I'm kind of imagine that the players' union probably wouldn't either.
He's hurt. Shut him down.
Well, I mean, he is hurt, but there is a difference between being hurt and injured, and that is where athletes have to kind of walk that razor's edge, I believe, and they're all going to want to compete, whether it's with themselves, whether it's with something small, whether it's with something big, whether it's at their chosen life vocation.
No, it's true. And look, Grant and I could argue about this all day long. We're going to differ on this because I also think for Ronald, his people around him have to say, you want that big fat contract that you see everybody else getting? You certainly want to put yourself in that position. And if you risk a season in which we're not going anywhere, I mean, if I was his people, I would be having that conversation. It doesn't mean that he does it, but that's what happened last night. I mean, honestly, when we talk about this, every player wants to play, and that's the problem. I said this, Graham. When you do something you love and somebody says you can't do it, you always go, well, I can just show up. I mean, people show up on the job sick all the time because, well, sure. I got a commitment. I got to do it. We do it. And it's one of those things where you're like, well, hey, today might be a day, a week might be a week, whatever it is. But the good news is, again, guys, grade one strain, calf strain.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today real quick. Mike, I know you got more on Acuna, but the game today, look, it's secondary because of what's been going on with Acuna. But, you know, again, you compete and then then we lose by one in extra innings.
Yeah, the one-run losses, I mean, when they write the obituary for this season, which, you know, we could probably get started on now if we're looking at the record and where they are and how far they're out, and obviously what the math says for the Braves, which is, at this point, no longer mathing for them having the season they want to have, it ultimately just comes down to not being able to execute in close games, not being able to score runs consistently, and then, you know, in kind of a hard return new paragraph, also the starting rotation got hurt. But ultimately, the first 3 months, it was one-run games, inconsistent offense, underperforming lineup. I mean, that really was the story of the Braves season until Chris Sale and Spencer Schwellenbach and Ronaldo Lopez, which I guess was early, but A.J. Smith-Shawver, and then finally Grant Holmes, and now you're just trying to cobble together whatever you can. So you're right. I mean, the DNA of good clubs is they find ways to compete and win these kinds of games. And unfortunately for the Braves, this has been the story too often this season. And it wasted a stellar start from Joey Wentz, who, you know, was up there, a homecoming for him, a Kansas kid, and throwing 6 2/3 a scoreless ball. That's a pretty nice thing to see, especially when you're searching for any kind of hope that you've got guys that can cover 5 or 6 innings every time they take the ball.
Right. And the ERA is under 3 for the season. I mean, since he's come over here to the Braves.
Nice.
I mean, I'm you know what? I'm pleasantly surprised on this one. Grant, I apologize to belabor the Acuna argument, but just one last nugget on it. I know you got the platoon at catcher, and we're going to see Drake Baldwin continue to be the DH, but could you foresee, as a measure of caution, Ronald just being a DH?
I don't know if they're ready to pull that string yet. I mean, could you ultimately? I think you could make a compelling case for it if you wanted to just kind of take some mileage off of the body and just not ask him to do anything more. But I don't look at Ronald and feel like, I mean, and let's look at it this way. I mean, he's hurt himself in the field. He's also hurt himself on the base paths, and the ACL last year on the base paths, the calf this year, according to Ronald, on the base paths. So I just don't know that necessarily is going to solve it. Again, I kind of guess you get back to the risk management. How much do you expect from him? But at 27, 28 years old going into next year, I just don't think he's reached the Marcell Ozuna level of we can't play him in the outfield because it's a detriment to the team or he's a detriment to himself.
All right. As far as the trade deadline, I think it's going to be a lot less movement than in years past. I kind of explained it earlier in the show. I want to get your take on this. Doesn't mean there won't be moves, but I do think the cost of doing business has a lot of teams going, I don't know if I want to really do that. And there are some contending teams. I mean, look, the Cubs and the Phillies are two teams I expect to try to get better here as they, you know, attempt to get back to a World Series. But I just don't know if we're going to see the massive deals, Grant.
No, it felt like that for a few years now, to be honest with you, since they expanded the playoffs. And now clubs, I think, have to pretty much run it all the way down to the wire to decide if you're on the fence anyway. I mean, you know, if you're leading a division, obviously you're going to be a buyer. But what clubs are going to say, okay, well, I'm 4 out of a wild card. Why not us? Or ownership comes in and says, all right, great. You're 4 games out of a wild card. We're going to sell all the great pieces and start over again next year. Sends a bad message to the team, sends a bad message to the fans. So I think you kind of have a group of clubs that live in that space this time of year, and it's a tough determination. I think we're seeing the San Francisco Giants making their call in terms of trading away some pieces. I saw the rumors Justin Verlander is available as well. So it looks like everything that they'd thrown in to try to win this year, they're now ready to sell off some pieces and start looking towards 26. But, you know, in terms of like the big, you know, blockbuster type trades, I just don't foresee a lot of that. And I'm one of those people too, not to get off on a tangent for time we don't have, but I missed the waiver trade period in August where, right, say you did need to make another move, you could at least do it under some circumstances. So I feel like if you're going to expand the playoffs, at least give people more time to determine what they are, and maybe we would see more movement and more excitement, even if it all doesn't happen on one particular day leading up to the 6 p.m. deadline.
Yeah, no more of the player to be named later. You're right, in August. The other thing is, and I guess the only reason that the Padres would trade Dylan Cease is they're just not going to sign him next year as a free agent?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And if the Padres are in a place where they feel like, hey, you know, we're still very much alive in the wild card, we want to make a run and try to get into October and see if it's us this year that gets hot at the right time, well, then you're going to have to walk that parallel path of, okay, we're trading Cease, but who are we going to go get on the other side? Because that's a very difficult thing to do, to, you know, spin off one piece and bring in another that is going to be able to replace him, if not upgrade what you're trying to do.
All right, Grant, great stuff, man. We will talk to you and see what happens here over the next, you know, 36 hours or so, and see where this goes. And again, I think a lot of these moves that everybody thought with the Braves, and Grant has talked about this on his podcast, he's talked about it on the radio station on the weekends, it just wasn't going to play out. I know everybody was frustrated, but you're not giving up on the core of your team.
But Ozuna's, I mean, I know it's just two home runs, Grant, but the fact that Ozuna's swinging a better bat, do we get anything better for him?
I think that he's still a guy that another club is going to look at his resume, not just his 2025, and say, this is a guy that can crush 40 and 100. He's done it not long ago. He's walking at a high rate. He's flashing some power here lately. Maybe that changes scenery. He gets hot for, you know, 2 weeks or 6 weeks, excuse me, 2 months or 6 weeks or whatever it is, to give them a push down the stretch. And, you know, if you're the one club is going to be able to get Eugenio Suarez, and after that, I don't really see a big power slugger that's just sitting out there on the market that's as obvious as Marcell Ozuna might be to some club that misses out.
All right, Grant. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. 404-726-0929. Mike and I are going to 6:30 tonight. We have Atlanta United pregame at 6:30, so we're going to 6:30. We're going to open up the phone lines. I want you to get it off your chest about these Braves, okay?
Yeah, are we barking up the wrong tree? Because I had some Braves fans like, anybody who said the word Achilles last night, they should be ashamed of themselves. I guess all this guy watches is baseball. Are you familiar with Tyrese Halliburton? Okay. I mean, no, it's not the shin bone connected to the ankle bone. But
go outside, nerd.
Thank you, Oren. But we've seen the calf thing create other problems in other parts of the body, generally the Achilles. So let's not screw with it.
No, and it is a connecting part. 404-726-0929. Your time to get it off your chest. Whether it's frustrated with the season, whether you think we should sit Ronald Acuna or not, whether you think, hey, this is it with Snit. Wherever you're at on any of these things, now's the time to get it off your chest. All right? Right now. 404-726-0929. We're taking your phone calls. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man. Dukes and Bell. We're going a little late tonight because we got some League Cup action. Necaxa is in town, Carl. Also known as Necaxa, Los Reyes.
Okay.
Also known as Los Electricistas, or the electricians. Also known as Los Once Hermanos. They got a lot of nicknames, but anyway, I don't know if they're any good. But we're taking them on, and we're going to be on green grass at Mercedes-Benz. So if you're a Five Stripes fan, we go play on the real stuff tonight down at Mercedes-Benz because we got the English Premier League teams playing as well. They can play on the good stuff.
That's right. Well, they're going to have these League Cups games Saturday, and then they got one next Wednesday as well. So we're going to 6:30.
Necaxa? Necaxa.
What'd you call me?
I'm just trying to get it right.
Oh, okay.
Oren, Necaxa, Necaxa.
Necaxa.
Thank you, Oren. Gracias.
I'm not saying it. I may slip that up. It's too close to some of
them. Hey, looks like Atlanta United's taking on Necaxa tonight.
Yeah, too close.
Over there at Mercedes-Benz.
Hey, man, Mike, I want you to go in real quick because you were just talking to me about this, and you were adamant and passionate about it, and we're asking you Braves fans. Here's the deal. Look, you guys know we have talked about this for months on end now, and I thought this season was not moving in the right direction back in middle of May. We said, let's get Acuna back. We got him back. He came back and played great. But the other guys weren't hitting, and then we know how this is gone.
Right.
But it's time to let it off your chest. And whether it is, hey, you know what, I think they've made this mistake, that mistake, Maybe you're frustrated with management. Maybe you're frustrated with the manager, because that's where I'm going to start. 404-726-0929. This season wasn't supposed to play out this way. Now, nobody can predict injuries, but I've heard and seen a lot of you like, I can't believe what's going on with the Braves. Okay, so Mike, where are you at?
I just want to see Ronald Acuna, you know, be healthy for a full season. I use the Mike Trout thing, guys. I'm just saying, who else are you going to compare him to? Two electrifying players, two guys that are basically faces of baseball, not named Ohtani. And unfortunately, guys, they just can't seem to stay on the field, whatever the circumstances. I don't want Ronald to go down the full road of Mike Trout. Because, you know, as you said, Carl, it's not just the numbers now, these games he's missing, the production is falling off for Trout. And Ronald is so electrifying, you're seeing it. He comes up and he basically is like a house of fire. I think that's why so many Braves fans are maybe reluctant to say shut it down. And I just don't know how Snicker was aware of it. If the word was out after the game the other night that somehow Ronald's not 100% after Monday, that you put him out there. Unless Snicker just is not paying attention to the small details. And I think two things, Carl, two things, as we always say in the show, can be true at the same time. Snicker is certainly the second greatest Atlanta Braves manager behind Bobby Cox.
Fair.
Winning percentage is .557 for Bobby, .540 for Snit. And we've said it a million times, 21 is one of like the most amazing managerial jobs, how he pulled the right trigger or pushed the right button or whatever analogy you want to use in getting those lineups right and winning the World Series. But I think he's lost his fastball. And this is a correlation with the team sucking and not being able to hit. I don't know if they've tuned him out. I don't know where it is with accountability. But I do know this. If I ran the Braves, I would have a hell of a celebration for Snickers. Not the way he wants to go out. But I would say you don't get year 50 in the organization. And I bring somebody from completely outside the Braves. Take an organization you think is elite. I'd like to pick Bruce Bochy's brain and see what guys he's using over there in Texas. Take any teams. You know, if you like analytics, go with Dave Roberts, guys. I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying, goes completely outside of the Braves organization for the next manager for this team, which I think has to happen.
Okay. And I think that is a fair assessment, because at the end of the season, everybody's got to be evaluated. Everybody. 404-726-0929. For me, the Acuna thing is simple. And Mike asked a question to Grant about DHing. Look, we're talking about to the end of the year, not forever. How do you limit his movements and his access in the outfield and stealing bases? He doesn't need to do all that. We're not playing for anything, Atlanta. That's silly. So when you talk about this from, hey, how do I preserve stars for what we hope to get back next season, I need Ronald Acuna and all of these guys, 100%. I don't need them injured at the end of this season, and we go into the offseason, Mike, worried about whether they're going to come back ready for spring training. That is why I say shut him down. What do you guys think? Danny in North Atlanta, thank you for dialing us up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what are you thinking, Danny?
I will tell you who I'm blaming. It's Mr. Alex Anthopoulos, who did not sign Freddie Freeman, did not sign. Do you guys think for 1 minute, if Dansby Swanson and Freddie Freeman were on this team, that the Braves would be where they're at? No,
no
way. And I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of money in 2021. It was a great year. And I haven't been back since that they didn't sign Freddie Freeman. I'm sorry, guys, but shame on you for blaming Brian Snicker. He doesn't have the players. That's not the problem. The problem is you can't compete in this Major League Baseball environment with no salary cap. Bad mistake not signing Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson.
I think you lost an edge of playing personality. I don't think if Freddie's on this team, I think you let Bryce Harper punk you the way he did. You know, I thought that was shameful, the way things went down, that whole Arcia situation. And you know how I feel about that. But I just think Snicker, you know, the whole thing we talked about with Kelnick. Kelnick's loafing. He doesn't say anything. I hope he says something to Money Harris about Monday night's effort. I think Snicker's whining. They're like, you guys, he's going to be 70. I just think it's time to change. Change the message. Because if you don't have leaders on the team, you better have a leader in that manager. And he's not cracking the whip on these guys, Carl. Now, granted, we're beating a dead horse at this point. But I just think you saw, unfortunately, the trend go south starting from 23 through last season.
I do agree with you about Dansby and Freddie. It's not that you lost their talent, because you actually replaced Freddie's numbers with Olsen when Olsen came in here. What you lost are the intangibles. The things that we don't talk about, the things go on in that clubhouse, that's what you lost. As far as that Snit doesn't have the players, these are the same players that broke almost every Major League Baseball offensive record as a team in 23. What are we talking about? Olsen was here. Riley was here. Acuna was here. Ozzie was here. All these guys. So that is unfair to even say that Snit doesn't have the players, because your season went to crap doesn't mean your manager doesn't get blamed, or at least takes part of the blame for the way he handled the downfall of this thing, as it was a sinking ship and he couldn't find a way to right it. Now, let's see what MK has to say in Atlanta. MK, thank you for listening. Hey, man, what is on your mind?
Hey, my lady thinks the same thing, and I was trying to get her to vent because she's venting to me about it every day. But I wanted to make an observation. When they went spring training, did y'all notice how he was letting his players go early, like in the second or third inning? It didn't give them time to really get acclimated to how they're going to bat, you know, and see the ball and stuff like that. I mean, I know he had confidence in his guys, but he was letting them go, you know, after about two or three innings, go in spring training. And I thought that's where it started there. And then when they got to L.A. and San Diego, they got blanked like that, you know?
0-7.
I never
7.
Really thought of the usage rate in spring. I mean, I hear what you're saying. There were some guys that weren't hitting coming out of spring training. We talked about that back in March when they left Northport. But, I mean, I some guys would make – I didn't even think about that. But, I mean, no one's playing a full workload down in spring training. You like to think guys are ready to roll. They weren't. It was abysmal.
And here's the other thing. When you're dealing with vets, and MK, thank you for the call, and I wonder what his lady's saying. She might be screaming and losing her mind. But we'd love to hear from you. Tell her to call in. 404-726-0929. Here's the thing about vets in spring training. All right? They know what it takes to get them ready for the season. Like, nobody can tell you, hey, you need to take 800 at-bats in spring training. Like, guys know what that feels like, where they should be. And sometimes, to Mike's point, it feels good. Sometimes it doesn't when you start the season. But that's how you have to work through this thing. And, you know, I just think what was the way we started the season, was that going to be a precursor to the way this thing went? Well, obviously it was. But we didn't feel that way, because right. We said, hey, we've had other examples of this team being able to come back. We're letting you get it off your chest when it comes to the Braves, guys. They lose again today, but that's really not it. It's all this other stuff. And the idea that, hey, you know, this thing is done. Is it? Does this deserve a complete rebuild? Because if that's the case, then you're trying to move a lot of guys this offseason. You're not going to do it at the trade deadline. That's 36 hours away or less. You're not doing that here. But if you're talking about that's where you feel this team needs, then you're like, these guys don't hit. What changes next year? Well, you got a lot of work to do.
Right. Again, but this goes back to what are we doing here? You know, Major League Baseball teams are built there's a mindset, there's a vision. We don't commit to pitching. That is now whether that I've always maintained, I give Alex, some listeners don't, Carl, give Alex the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I always maintain that Liberty Media, who are the primary shareholders of this Braves Holdings company, or Braves Corp, what the hell it's called, I've got to share. Don't let him spend the loot like I think we need to. I've always said, can't we spend as much as Philly? We're market 7, they're market 5. Can we close that gap? Make a real play for some of the elite, you know, pitching when it's available. Last couple of years, let's be honest, Carl, had not been a great year for free agent pitchers, and some of these guys have been injured as much as anybody else. But the point is, should have built and done that in 22. Should have built off the 21 success. The Freddie thing, as a caller brought up earlier in the show, I don't disagree with that for a minute. Freddie was a leader on this team. I don't think there's a leader on this team. I think Ronald needs to be that guy. Can't do that if you're on the bench or you're hurt.
Let's talk to Les in Dallas, Georgia. Les, welcome in. Hey, man, what are you thinking?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Good, Les.
Good.
Great. Yeah. Well, I think what y'all said earlier about Cousins and him last year, he wasn't fully healthy. That's the reason why I would suggest resting Acuna. Give him a little bit more time to completely heal.
Yes.
Especially from this strain. And then he comes back maybe even better and faster next year. And then I also agree with y'all. I'd say get rid of the upper management. It wouldn't break my heart to get rid of the ownership either.
Right on.
Well, look, and appreciate you, Les. Thank you for listening in Dallas. Look, the upper ownership or the ownership of this team, that's not changing. I hear you. It's a bad year for us. That's fine. Okay? We've won this thing 7 years in a row. We've been in the playoffs.
Right.
My question is, Mike, is this closed now? Because we could easily run this back and say, hey, we're going to address the pitching and we're going to do all this thing and we're going to be right back in this thing. And that's what I think they believe internally in the building. But what if that's not the case?
Well,
what if this 7-year run was our run and we got one out of it? And guess what? Now this is going to be, okay, a team that is still trying to figure it out. And if we don't address this by getting some real frontline starters, because everybody is on the IL, you expect all these guys to come back being healthy on the pitching staff next year?
No. Again, when you have Ronaldo Lopez, who was a closer, and you amp up his innings to be a starter again, he breaks down. Okay, Chris Sale is an amazing reclamation project. All the other Braves fans, we can't trade Vaughn Grissom. Where is he now? But the Chris Sale thing is the kind of deals that Alex has to make. He has to shop every hot stove league with a freaking Groupon because they don't allow him, in my opinion, to do the things he needs to do. You know, what we also need is Matt Olson and Austin Riley to combine for more than 34 home runs.
Oh, yeah, that's pathetic.
We need Ozzie not to stink. We need Michael Harris to not be a one half of a season player.
He's a second half guy.
These are the guys that you've committed the money to. You know, and Alex, we had like a 5-minute explanation on Money Harris will get better. They need to fix Money Harris. I think he showed a little more plate discipline. But, I mean, you cannot have this lineup. The strength of the lineup in 21 through 23 was 7-8-9. Bottom of our lineup sucks. You got no pitching. Relief pitching sucks. De Los Santos got DFA'd. Thank God. He was brutal. Iglesias, you probably can't give him away. I mean, let's get – what are we here for? I mean, even though we came under the yoke of incredible injuries and everything else, this team is still fundamentally flawed, despite all the experts thinking we're going to win something this year, in my mind.
And see, that's the thing that has to be really addressed. We can talk about all this other stuff. It's flawed. And you got to address that. Want to get Sam in here before the top of the hour. Sam and Palmetto, thank you for listening to Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what's going on, Sam?
Hey, here's what we got. This is an unpopular opinion. Maybe people don't want to hear it. Not saying it's the right thing or the wrong thing.
Let it rip.
But look, no one is untouchable. We love Acuna, but look, we love Dominique Wilkins. We love Claude Humphreys. We love Deion Sanders. They all left. You might be in a position where you have to consider – you know what I mean? Seeing what you can get for this guy. You know what I mean? I mean, no one is untouchable. Hell, even the Dodgers traded Jackie Robinson to the freaking Giants.
It's true.
You understand?
Yeah.
So Johnny Unitas finished his career in L.A.
Right.
No one is untouchable. You might have to consider it.
Okay. I don't have an issue with this. Sam, if that is a part of the solution to us potentially getting back to a World Series, here becomes the issue, right? You have to – the return on investment, the ROI for Ronald Acuna between now and the time that his contract ends, and what is his value at the end of that contract, and are you going to get the best out of him between now and then, or are you willing to give that up to maybe help you go get some frontline starting pitching, and you feel like a double-A has felt the last few years, that he can just put anybody out in the outfield and we'll be okay, because that's not the case. That hasn't worked. So if you say, hey, this is what needs to happen. We need to trade Ronald, and this needs to be a part of the solution. Okay, I just need to know what we're doing.
That's a hard reset. That's a hard reset I don't think this organization will make, because the Braves know. Like, we got guys. I did the numbers. The Braves have to go 41-14 just to get to 86 wins. And we still have some Braves fans thinking there's a shot.
And there's no shot.
And there is no shot. You know, so, I mean, the fan base has got to get real and demand more. And I just think when you look at how this thing is run, that's a hard reset. I can't ever see them pulling the trigger on that. And then there's always the question, with Ronald's recent injury history, would you get the haul you expect?
That's another question. It's a really good question. All right. You can chime in, 404-726-0929. You can text us as well. Find us on social media, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. We're coming back. We're going to 6:30 tonight. Mm-hmm. It's Dukes and Bell.